Okay. Well, now that you all have Bibles, if you go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. This subject that came up so strongly in my heart is the subject of the truth versus the lie. Or the truth versus falsehood, as the NASB puts it. The lie doesn't really communicate because it's the lie is made up of a network of that which is false. So if somebody fingers somebody else and says, hey, you lied, how can somebody say that somebody has lied unless there's a standard of the truth which they communicated falsely? See it? To say something is a lie or someone lied, there has to be a standard of truth that's contrary. You understand? So the lie didn't come first. The truth did. The adversary didn't come and distort things originally. He had to have something to distort. To have something that was there originally, and then he twisted it and made it false. See it? God has arranged it that truth would be the standard everywhere. Because this whole system of the world is arranged by the God of this world, and he is contrary to truth, therefore he arranged it all to be contrary to the truth, and therefore it is classified, all of it, as the lie. The lie. And that's the way the scriptures communicate it. And with that, let's look at John 8, starting in verse 43. Jesus Christ is talking to a category of people here, and accept it or not, he is talking to people who have believed on him in this section. I was taught differently. But okay, well, let's back up here. Well, first, let's look at, he says, verse 43, why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. Now, who is he talking to here? Well, if you go to verse 31, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So he's talking to those Jews which believed him, believed on him. That's who he's talking to here. You get to verse 43 again. It says, why do you not understand what I am saying? It's because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. Because we've misunderstood this term, father. Father just means there's a pattern been set by one, and you're following that as a child or a son. You're following the pattern of a father. Like Jubal was called the father of all those who play stringed instruments. Because anybody who plays a stringed instrument, they weren't the first one that came up with that. Jubal was. So they're following Jubal's ways. We are called the children of Abraham. Why? Because we're following the ways of Abraham. What's the way of Abraham? Believing. Simple. We believe what God said. Abraham believed what God said. Who believed first?
Abraham.
Abraham set a standard, not that he was the first one to believe anything that God said, but he was the one that was marked out as the believer because he is noted as believing in the resurrection. And that's what it takes for us to get in. So we are called children of Abraham in various places because we believe just like Abraham believed in one who would be raised from the dead. Do you get that? That's... You know, Abraham, when he was supposed to sacrifice Isaac, he told the servant, you know, I and the lad will return. Well, how is he going to kill Isaac and return with Isaac? He's got to believe in Isaac being raised from the dead. And he did. And that's what Romans 4 tells us. He believed in him who raises the dead. Okay? We are children of Abraham because we believe the same. To get into this package of the body of Christ, you have to believe in him who raises the dead. It's a requirement. You don't believe in that, there's no new birth. And you're not in the package of the body of Christ. Okay? So a father sets the precedent, sets the standard. Then the children of that person or that thing follow that standard. Okay, we were called in Ephesians 2, verse 3, children of wrath. Why? Because we were following the ways of consequences. Now we're not. We were children of wrath. You see it? So here he says in verse 44, to those Jews which believed on him, he said, you are of your father the devil. You are still following his ways. Because he says, and you want to do the desires of your father. Well, there it is. You want to do the desires of someone? He's your father. You want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning. And they'd already said they want to eliminate Jesus Christ at this point. And does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks, and it should be the lie, he speaks from his own nature. For he is a liar and the father of the lie. So he is the father of the lie. So anybody that's following a pattern of the lie is following the devil or a child of the devil. Do you understand? That's what gives the qualification of a child of the devil. They're following the ways of the lie. That's what this is saying. So the lie didn't come first. The truth did. God set the standard. He's God. He's the one to be honored, worshipped, loved, respected. Anything that steers mankind away from that is part of the system of the lie. So what happens when you talk the truth to people? Most of the time, they can't even hear it. It's like they're doing, you know, the kid game. La, 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 la. I can't hear you. Even though they're looking at you, and they're supposedly hearing your words, but they cannot hear your words. Because the God of this world has blinded them. Okay, well, given that, that's the lie that's all around us. Okay, God has set the standard of the truth. He is God, God Almighty. He had a plan and purpose of all of eternity. The whole system is set up for people not to believe that. It is a stack of miracles further than your eyes can see for you to be sitting here today. Because for you to see through the lie to even want to be here, unless you're here for the coffee, it took a stack of miracles. There had to be a desire in your heart. You reached out to God. God had to cut through one part of the lie after another, after another, after another. Pretty soon the air started clearing, and here you are. And here you'll be throughout all eternity. Not in this living room, but in the living room of God's heart. Why? Because the lie has been uncovered and exposed as the lie. And your heart said, I don't want that anymore. So you reached out for the truth. Go to Ephesians in chapter 4. That's why all of our epistles start out with God our Father. We've changed systems of belief. We changed who we're following. We turned from the lie to the truth. That's why God is called our Father. We're following now His ways of thinking. His ways of thinking. So, you have here this phrase, the lie and the truth, used again here in Ephesians 4, verse 25. And I'm going to give it to you from the NASB. New American Standard Bible, it says, therefore, laying aside falsehood, that's the lie, laying aside falsehood, in King James it says lying, a complete misleading. It's nothing to do with, okay, you know, I had two pieces of pizza instead of, you know, three. Has nothing to do with that. It's talking about the truth versus the lie. Look, back up here in verse 20. But you did not so learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus. What does two versus three pieces of pizza have to do with Jesus? It's not lying, it's the truth versus the lie. Do you see it? The NASB handles the truth as falsehood. I really like that phrase. when you look it up in a dictionary, it refers to that which is not according to fact or truth. Simple. So you have the standard, the truth, what God says is truth. Truth is in Jesus. He gave us a package. He delivered to us a package which is called the truth. Anything contrary to that is networked as falsehood, the category of that which is not the truth. Now, you and I everybody settles into believing one or the other, following the ways of one or the other, and to varying degrees. God has set the standard of the truth. The lie has been fabricated to distract, to draw away, to actually blind the eyes of people so they can't see the truth. Remember, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, which is wholeness or deliverance. From what? Saints, in the context of Romans 1, you have, again, the phrase, the lie used. To deliver us from the lie, the system out there that promises, oh, you'll get taken care of if you get a better job. Oh, if you have a better degree, you'll have a better career. Oh, if you could just find a wife, you'll be better off. Oh, if you could just lose that wife, you'll be better off. Oh, if you can get more kids, get less kids. What? The system tells you everything that's contrary to the way God would have it to be. You are not holy according to how you feel out here, right? Do you feel holy by what the system is telling you? Do you feel righteous? Absolutely not. The system tells you that you are in error. The system tells you that you are worthless, that you're, you know, as somebody sang, just like a number. You are a number out there. But God tells you, oh, no, you're not a number. You are the treasure of my heart. You are my holy and beloved people. You are the valuable thing to me in this whole system, not just the earth, not just the universe, the whole package of everything. We don't even know how far beyond the universe is. We have no idea. We still think in man-made terms. We don't know how big this thing is. What if the whole universe is the head of a pin in the midst of the whole atmosphere of the earth? We have no idea. How big is God? Anybody got a clue? The whole system set up so that you would not believe the truth which is in Jesus. The truth. So what is that category of the truth? Yeah, Christ and what he's passed on to us, right? So some of these things are things we talk about all the time. You are a child of God. That's because of Jesus Christ. You are made the righteousness of God. That's because of Jesus Christ. See, you are holy and without blame. That's because of Jesus Christ. And only in him are these things. God is your sufficiency. Your paycheck is not your sufficiency. And that fraction of a second that your mind shifts over to your paycheck is your sufficiency, then begins the falsehood networking back into your thinking. God is our sufficiency. God is our provider. You know, further down that road, the joy of that, what happens when the company you work for says, well, we've got to make some cutbacks, so instead of letting people go, we're cutting everybody back on their pay 10%. Well, you know, usually people are living according to their income. So cutting back 10% is a huge deal. What do they say, 20%? 50%. If God is your sufficiency, it doesn't really matter what they say. Because he's your sufficiency. Do you understand? Oh, we've got some disease that's sweeping through the nation, you know, say. And everybody's getting it. They don't have a vaccination for it. Everybody's dying all around you. Who's your sufficiency for health? See it? Yeah, right. We know the right term, but is that truth living in us? The truth is your shield and buckler, Psalm 91, verse 4 says. The truth becomes our shield. Nothing can penetrate a shield. Not God's shield. See it? Does it matter what happens around us? Really, from God's point of view? When things get stacked up to a certain level, okay, well, yeah, I can still see how I'm getting taken care of. Then it goes a little past where you can see how you're going to be taken care of. At what point is God not your sufficiency? At what point have his resources been exhausted?
Jesus Christ didn't die.
Right? Yeah. See it? You and I are attacked every single day. We saw that, you know, a little ways back, looking at Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. The accuser, who accuses the brethren day and night. You are under accusation day and night by the accuser. He's always throwing out the lie. See, we choose which path we're going to follow. Are we going to accept what the truth says? Now, if we just relinquish, we'll see what happens. I can tell you what's going to happen. You know, you're in a stream. To walk the truth is to walk upstream. Is it easy? No, flat out no. It's not easy to stand on the truth because the currents of life are going contrary. So what happens if I just take it easy, kick my feet up, and see what happens? Exactly. You no longer walk in the truth. You get swept away with the currents of life. And who's the God of this world? Who's the prince of the power of the air? See it? God gives us a truth as a shield to protect ourselves. He gives us a truth as strong legs in the currents of life to move against the currents of life. God has set up the truth against the lie. Let's look at a section of scripture. We are warned in Ephesians to not fall back into that category of the lie, but to hold on to what reality in Christ is, the truth, which is in Jesus, as we saw. To hold on to it. Why does it say, set your thoughts on things above? Because it takes a deliberate decision. Right? Isn't that what it takes? God tells us, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind. Is he telling us to renew our mind or to just see what happens? Isn't that cool? It's very clear. So in Ephesians 4, right in this great epistle of Ephesians, now written, this is written not only to the saints, but to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Watch what it says. Verse 17. Oh, and if you're going to just read up on it, read from chapter 4, verse 1 through verse 16, leading into this section we're going to look at now, where God tells us in the clearest section of Scripture what the body of Christ is supposed to look like. Okay? Then you get to verse 17. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord. He's saying, this isn't me. Paul's saying, I'm affirming together with the Lord here. I'm telling you this in agreement with the Lord. That you no longer walk just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, the emptiness, the uselessness of their mind, their own thoughts. Because God tells us to think thoughts which are where?
Above.
So not in our own thoughts, but in thoughts above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Because truth is in who?
Jesus.
So don't think according to the Gentiles in the futility, the emptiness of their mind. So if I lift my feet in the currents of life, I'm just going to float away with the thoughts of the world. It takes a deliberate decision to stand in truth. So he's given us this warning. Don't walk as the Gentiles walk in the emptiness of their mind. Verse 18, being darkened. Being darkened. That's a process. Being darkened. Getting worse and worse in their understanding. Now, something comes to mind in their understanding. Ephesians 1:18, in this prayer, Paul is praying for the saints that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened to the things of God. Here, their understanding, walking as the Gentiles, if I'm like with them in their thinking of the world, the way of the world, then I am being darkened in my understanding. Isn't that just the opposite as being enlightened in my understanding? So the heart that turns to God for enlightenment gets the enlightenment. To go with the flow is to be being darkened in our understanding. And they, still talking about the Gentiles, excluded from the life of God. Excluded from the life of God. Isn't this a little bit contrary? Jesus Christ came that we might have life? Yeah. And the way of the Gentiles is to be being darkened, excluded from the life of God. The life of God is there, but they're excluded from the joys of it. The whole package, the peace, the forgiveness, the lack of judgment. They're excluded from that package of life. How? Because they're walking in the emptiness of their own thoughts, not accepting the thoughts of God. That's where it starts. Having their understanding darkened, then being alienated from the life of God which is in them. Because of the ignorance that is in them, not the life of God that's in them, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, a soft heart receives, like tender ground receives seed. Hard ground, you throw seeds on concrete, they might sprout with a little water, but they're not going to get very far, are they? That ground is hardened, you know, to a big degree, you know, to really make the point. But if you put seeds on very soft soil, you know, soil you can you push your hand into and it goes up to the tops of your fingers, soft soil. That soil just receives seed. The roots just grow and that thing thrives. Well, the Gentiles are hardened in their heart. To what? To the truth. To the truth. They're going with the flow and following the lie. Then you get to verse 19 as a result. And they, having become callous. Callous is, you know, rubbed, past the blister stage to where the skin hardens. Calloused. God's trying to reach people with the truth. As they resist it, they get calloused. Having given themselves over to sensuality. Wow, that's our whole system today, saints. The movie industry is pushing emotions so that God's people, included with everybody else, would be driven by sensuality, feelings, emotions. Oh, I just don't feel like I'm holy. Oh, therefore I'm not, right? Well, if you're duped that easily, you know, come talk to me. Like now, before we're done talking here. Because God designed the truth to strengthen us. Sensuality will weaken us. You know, oh man, that I just don't feel like I match up to the things of God. You're never going to feel like you match up to the things of God until you accept that you have through Jesus Christ. You've been placed in Christ by God's doing, not your own. If it was by our doing, saints, we'd never get in and God would never have a family. This whole thing would be a waste. So he made it to where we didn't have to qualify ourselves. But we have been qualified by Jesus Christ. The Gentiles follow a different trail. They say, well, I'm trying to be better. I'm trying to be a better person. I'm hoping that if I do enough good things, God will accept me into heaven. Right? I mean, I used to think that way too. You know, I'm not really a bad person, so I'm sure God is fair. God doesn't want to, he's not even concerned with you doing right or wrong at all. He's concerned with people believing what he says is true. Take your Bibles all the way back, thinking into Genesis 3. Doesn't God just want to be believed? Don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for if you eat of it, you're going to die. So just accept what I say. Cain and Abel. Abel's offering was accepted by God because he did it by faith. He believed what God said. Isn't that what God's looking for? First king of Israel, Saul, was given the position of being king over all of Israel. He disqualified himself when Samuel, the prophet, said, I want you to go and do this job and eliminate all the animals and get rid of them. So he takes of the best to do sacrifices because in his own mind, he had a better idea. Are your thoughts the thoughts of God? Or are they your ideas? You trying to be a better person is your idea. You trying to be good enough is your idea. God's idea is for you to accept that he's made you completely qualified for his kingdom by Jesus Christ. That's God's idea. The Gentiles, because of the futility of their own mind, had their hearts darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. See, and God is warning us through Paul, don't go that trail. We can think our own thoughts and begin to follow that trail. Let your thoughts just ride, you know. Just let them go. The system will somehow work out. Things will always work out. Well, they're going to work out all right under one God or the other. But they're going to work out. So if we hold on to the truth like it says, then we continue in the trail of the truth and our minds are made whole. We learn to think the thoughts of God, which are contrary to our own thoughts, which are driven by the world. See it? God wants us to know the greatness of the truth. That's why, verse 19 again, and they, having become calloused, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. You know, I want things better for me. Well, everybody does. Do you trust your father? Is your father reliable to provide the best for you, or do you have to figure out how to get things yourself? See, greediness, trying to get my, I want my life to be better, so I've got to make it better. That's part of the lie, saints. God's looking for children, you know, like little Caleb. You know, feed me. Do everything. Pick me up. Change my diaper. You know, everything's taken care of for Caleb. That's what God wants in us. He wants us to have that attitude of, God, then I will not have my needs taken care of if you're not going to take care of them, because I'm sick and tired of trying to do this on my own. That's like, you know, running hard against this brick wall, running hard. I'm going to get through it sometime, and it just keeps hitting it. And it does seem to get better. Our own abilities are designed by God to fall short. Until we get tired of hitting our head on the wall, we're going to keep hitting our head on the wall. God wants us to know who we are in Christ, to accept that. Man, I'm your child. You're my sufficiency forever. I don't have to be concerned about, worry about a thing, God. What you say is true in Christ is true. And I'm staking my life on it. Because of that, saints, we don't follow the ways of the Gentiles, like we're being warned against here. We follow the ways of Christ. And in that, we continue to grow and mature and see its abundant fruit, like God promises. The fruit of love, joy, peace, right? Patience, long-suffering, the rest of it. Isn't that what we really want? So as 1 Peter 4 says, the last verse, we entrust our souls to a faithful Creator. It doesn't say we entrust our souls to a different, maybe good God, but to a faithful Creator who is faithful to watch over His people. He designed us. He knows what makes us tick. He knows what we need. So He says, I've done all these things for you in Christ, so you can just accept it and let me take care of you like little Caleb gets taken care of. See it? God cannot force us to receive and walk in His blessings and goodness. So He encourages us. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. See, I'm begging you to take a look at my point of view. Accept what I've done for you in Christ, that you are holy. You are without blame. I am your sufficiency. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will provide for you to the nth degree. Just trust in me. Don't short-circuit this by trying to figure it out yourself. Just trust me. Watch me take care of you. Man, He's better at this than we are. Why not? Why not trust Him? So, the truth versus the lie. It's all through the Scriptures. The truth is in Christ. The lie is everything that's contrary, that you would not trust in God's work in Christ. That's what the lie is. And the devil is the father of the lie. He's the one arranging everything contrary to in Christ. If you don't feel like you're in Christ, there's a reason for that. Because there's an enemy that's trying to keep you from seeing the greatness of who you are in Christ. He is a liar and the father of the lie. We don't believe who we are in Christ because the liar is still at work. He's still doing the same thing he was 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ fingered him. You are who you are in Christ no matter what thoughts you have. No matter what you consider, no matter what you think, you still are who you are in Christ. It's when we accept that that we see the benefits. You know, if one of us said, I don't believe in addition and subtraction, and therefore I don't believe in the multiplication table, then will you get the benefits of it? No. If somebody dropped $4 million in your bank account, you say, I don't believe that that's there.
Does it disappear?
No, it's still there. That's the thing. Yeah, it's still there. All the benefits are there. We're just disqualifying ourselves. We're not good enough. Well, if I was good enough to have $4 million, then well, I could probably believe it, but I'm just not good enough. I'm trying harder. Maybe next week I'll be able to accept this. The father of the lie is at work. God doesn't want you to work your way into anything, to be a better person. He didn't send a repair program in Jesus Christ. He took you out of the muck and mire of what Adam passed us and placed us in the richness of Christ, as it's put. He just says, accept it. Learn to accept it. And the lies of the lie will dissipate. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. You are who you are in Christ, so stick to the truth. Stick to the truth. Associate yourself, surround yourself with people who will speak the truth to you and allow you to speak the truth to them. You're more blessed when you're speaking the truth anyway. That's why, to close here in chapter 4, verse 25, we'll finish the whole verse this time. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, the lie, speak the truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So setting aside the lie, speak truth. You know, when something of the lie or falsehood comes up, it's the best time to speak the truth. You ever notice that? Man, I don't know how God is going to take care of this, you know, this bill. I go, man, that's a great opportunity to speak truth to your neighbor, to love your neighbor. Or you recognize it in your own life. Say, man, no, God says he's my sufficiency. Pretty soon it becomes, what bill? Because you know it's taken care of. You're confident with God. He is your sufficiency. See it? So God has placed us in Christ, in the truth, which is contrary to the lie. And the lie has arranged itself in contrast to the truth. So the truth came first. That's the standard. It's just like Jesus Christ spoke that parable, not the wheat among the tares, but the tares among the wheat. The tares are the weeds. We look out here and we think, oh, we are this little bit in the midst of, you know, the greatness of the tares, the greatness of everybody else. But really, it's they have the privilege of living on blessed soil where God's people are. God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. But check your context. It's because the just are so blessed. Sodom and Gomorrah would have been saved for how many righteous? Yeah, it says 10. Yeah, it might have been one. Could have been one. But it says 10. For 10 righteous, God would have saved the whole city. All that whole city, you know, of evildoers, and they're major. If you read the record, it's like nasty stuff. God would have saved the whole city because 10 righteous lived there. But he couldn't find 10. And the city got destroyed. But for 10 righteous, this whole United States is being held on by a thread. Has been for a long time. 1776, they remember they wanted to revamp the Constitution. 1976, they wanted to redo the Constitution. The redoing of the Constitution of the United States was being set up for the inner destruction of this country. It got stopped because righteous ones lived here, found out about it, and stopped it. There have been a lot of movements to destroy. If this country gets destroyed, it's a major stay of light in the world. Because of the freedoms that we have here, freedom of religion. So it's being targeted, you know, as we speak. But as the righteous live here, how far can the enemy overpower it? For 10 righteous, God would have saved Sodom. 10. Saints, we got more than 10 sitting here. So praise God for the truth. Who you are in Christ Jesus is bigger than any condition that's contrary out there. You are the wheat among the tares. You're not a little bit of wheat among the many tares or the overpowering tares. It's not the tares among the wheat. It's the wheat among the, It's not the wheat among the tares. It's the tares among the wheat. We are the standard because of the truth. See it? The world is what's different. We think, oh, no, we're different because we're sanctified. No, they're different. God has set the standard. They're contrary. Do you understand? That's it. So God is developing us in life, true life. And it's different. But we have been set up as the standard because the truth lives in us. In other words, the truth is the standard, but the truth is living in us. Therefore, everything contrary is contrary. We are the standard. Truth came first, then the lie. Okay? So...